hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, number 160, this May 30th, 2006. We're recording at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive here in Ruskin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. A host for the show since the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey there, Tom Houston. What's going on today?
Oh, not a whole lot. I'm just hanging around in Burke, Texas.
Burke, Texas.
Well, are you going to introduce our other host?
I am indeed. Is Patterson there?
I am here. I'm here live from Bear Claw Estates in beautiful Hudson.
Yeah.
My first remote in history.
I kind of thought you might be there.
Can you two hear each other?
I can hear each other fine.
It's certainly
amazing.
Nice to have you with us, Patterson.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
My name's Tom Houston, but here he is, folks. The creator, the producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Parr.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, through the magic of two Tullos family, we have Don Patterson at his house, at your house, Don.
Yes, sir.
And we have Tom Houston at his house. And we think we figured out a way that Don could do it from his house. So I'll be here by myself most weeks, right?
See what happens.
Hard to get a quorum.
It's hard to get a quorum together these days. And I don't want to deal.
We're experiencing, in some regards, the biggest drawback to being blind.
That's true.
Absolutely, totally no transportation. When you don't have it, you ain't got it.
Yeah,
that's right. And you're out there in the country, and it isn't 3 miles to town. But, walking it is not good.
Yeah, and I haven't ridden a scooter in years, so.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that, though. Yeah, in a pinch, I guess. But, yeah, that 3 miles is... I don't know. Yeah, that's
I've
the deal.
Got a question, though. Did it rain in Lufkin?
Has not rained. No. Not one drop.
Did it rain out at Pat's house?
It rained very good out here. In fact, it looks like it's clearing up now, but it hasn't been stopped very long. It wasn't like a deluge, but it was a good steady rain for an hour.
Really?
Oh, okay. Well, so far we've had a sprinkle in Burke, but it's real cloudy.
My sidewalks are still wet all the drive. I mean, it just quit 15 minutes ago.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Horrendous, isn't it?
It has not rained one lousy drop on Southwood Drive.
It hasn't.
Nothing. I mean, the sun is out.
Yeah.
I went and turned the air conditioner up a while ago. The sun is shining on my pool, and I bought this great new table.
Yeah.
Outside table. It's marble topped.
Emily told me about that when she came to see the car.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, man. I like it. It costs too much, but it's marble top. Of course, I spent all day yesterday putting the chairs together where they didn't drill the holes correctly. I had to put the punch in there and line them up. And Luann was trying to help me. That didn't slow me down much. But,
yeah.
Boy, she must be out of town, too.
Jesus, I hope she doesn't hear. She won't hear that.
Listen to this
show. I guess we could, we'll read a little email, Tommy, if you're ready. If you're up for it.
Okay.
All right.
Here's one that says, Aloha, listeners.
Hey.
It says, yes, it's a handy woman. My husband is not the handyman type, but he does well as the color identifying and instruction reading staff.
Wow. Oh.
I discovered that I loved doing jobs around the house when I was a single mom about 30 years ago. I may not know all of the correct terminology, but I have tools, patience, and persistence. About 4 years ago, I installed a kitchen faucet. It's washerless, has one lever for adjusting the water. Recently, when the lever is moved to the hot side, it emits an obnoxious whistle. I have removed and cleaned the screen filter, but no improvement.
Yeah.
Any ideas? This is Betsy in Hilo, Hawaii.
Well, I'm glad somebody on the list came up with an idea, because I've never worked with one of these. I mean, they say it doesn't have washers in it, but did you get the post answering her question?
I did.
Because I have no idea. Any of y'all ever seen one?
I've installed them, but, they just come as a single unit, but I have no idea what's causing that problem.
All right, this guy seemed to know, though.
All right.
One guy's take on it, and I have a couple here.
Okay.
Says your faucet is washerless, but it still has seals and springs. That is if it is a Delta faucet. If so, you need to buy a repair kit, which will include all of these parts, and methodically disassemble your faucet and replace the parts. It's pretty easy to do. There are other makes that are even easier. You buy a thing called a cartridge, which includes all the sealing apparatus on one shaft,
mm-hmm.
and you methodically disassemble your faucet and install a new cartridge. Good luck, and that came from Mickey.
Now, he seems to know what he's talking about, didn't
he? That works for me, buddy.
He seems to have maybe done this before or seems to know something about it.
Yeah, he's familiar with brands and stuff, so I would go with that.
I'd go with him, but, you know, it makes sense that that's got to have something in there that stops the flow of water because metal against metal would not stop that water flow. I mean, there'd be a little seepy, you know.
Would have to be.
There'd have to be some spongy or some rubber or something in there that was mashed down and stopped the flow of water. So I guess it may not have a standard washer, but it's got a washer of some sort. All right. Go ahead. You got another.
Here's a guy that said he had this very same problem with his hot water faucet in his
mm-hmm.
shower.
Mm-hmm.
And he took the faucet apart, found the washer inside the faucet was badly worn, and changing the washer did the trick. And this is from Ed.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be washerless.
That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, usually when a washer goes bad in a faucet, it doesn't squeak. It just drips all the damn time.
Yeah, that's the truth.
It has a little.
Yeah, I think I would make, you know, get the brand name, like the guy said, if it's a Delta or, in fact, I'm... can't think of any other brands right now, but, I mean, there's tons of them. Get it and take it to Lowe's or Home Depot, and they'll fix you up.
They would know what to buy. Somebody, especially at, man, the advantages of our little hardware store. Down. I went to Home. We bought this table at Home Depot, and, man, it's just, God, the store is so.
The store is gigantic.
It is. They said, we looked at tables. They just had some little four tops, and so we and said, do you have any six-top tables, six-chair tables? And the guy said, yeah, they're about the middle of the store. Well, 30 minutes later, we were at the middle of the store. I mean, it just took a long time.
Yeah, it's big.
And it's hard to get somebody to help you.
Yeah, it is hard.
At our Home Depot,
it is.
But, yeah, I've got a comment or two on our little hardware store, too, but we might wait till after the email.
After the email?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay. Here's a guy that we all know and love, David Barron.
Yes, we do.
He says he has two lights in his refrigerator. Now, the bulbs are perfectly fine, but they aren't staying on consistently. They're not loose at all. You never know if they will go on when the door opens or not. My guess is that the problem is in the switch that works when you open and close the door.
Yep.
I don't seem to be able to locate where it can be removed. Any ideas will be welcome. They're bearing.
He may have a point. The switch, and if that's the case, I'd just put a little tuner cleaner in it, wouldn't you?
That was one idea from a guy.
Oh, well, there's some other ideas?
Oh, well, I don't have them here, but, I mean, I've read them, and one was tuner cleaner.
Yeah, worth a shot.
Put some tuner cleaner or something that cleans the little switch. It could be the socket, but it's probably not. Probably the switch. Just clean the switch and go on.
That's the problem. And always looking in the refrigerator. You know, I love food, man. And you know, that's a problem I've never seen in my life. It was a switch problem. I know it happens, but it's just. That's an unusual.
I never have either.
Well, I'm looking at mine as we speak. And this refrigerator is about 2.5 years old, and used to they were sort of, a lot of times the switch was kind of midway in the door, a little button.
Yep.
A little.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
This one is at the top, and it's a fairly good-sized little switch, and actually just the door, instead of having a little, hits it and makes it, punches it in, and it... I do not see how you would remove it, save taking the entire icebox apart.
Yeah.
I'm certain there might be a way, like I have a notion, the way it looks like you could pop it out. It looks like I could take a screwdriver. There's no screws holding it in.
Yeah.
But I figure it has to be replaceable.
Yeah.
He might look at that, put a little screwdriver, I mean, don't do any serious damage to your plastic, but this one is loose. I mean, the whole thing is, I believe I could get a screwdriver under it and have the switch in my hand.
Pry it out.
And just come out.
I believe you're a cleaner, or I believe that's the way you would replace that switch.
Yeah, but tuner cleaner, chances are, one little squirt of tuner cleaner. Of course, your tuna fish will then smell like tuna cleaner.
Well, how good is that stuff with plastic?
It won't hurt it.
Okay.
It won't hurt it.
I would see if I could pop the little switch out I don't see how they would put a switch in an icebox, you know, a $1,000 icebox if they couldn't replace a switch. And I believe that's the way it comes out.
They wouldn't.
Sometimes, as one of the list people that I don't have written down here, but I read it.
Yeah.
He said that sometimes you can take your finger and just push in the button and release it several times, that it's not coming all the way out.
Well, yeah, that'll work.
And work it a little bit, and sometimes it'll just, you know, pop on.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, right.
I think it would be definitely my opinion that it is a switch because both bulbs are reacting the same way.
Yeah, that makes sense. If it was one socket, the other bulb would, you know, unless they're in series, that's a thought. Chances are it's a switch, Dave. We can help you. Aren't you glad we've helped you, Dave? It's wonderful, Dave, that we're able to come to your rescue. Handyman Dave, he'll solve this problem. Though the tuna cleaner won't. I've used some years ago that was damaged plastic, but nowadays it's very gentle stuff that doesn't hurt. Man, it doesn't hurt anything. It's odorless, colorless, and it just does its job.
Well, don't get it in the spaghetti.
Don't get it in the spaghetti or the kumquats or whatever. Aren't you got another one, Tommy?
Has anyone used the Sirgon, I guess it is, video level? The info I saw says it has an audio signal to indicate level or plumb. How accessible is it?
I never heard of one. I know nothing about them. Was there an answer?
There was from Dale, you know, Dale Living.
He knows everything. We talked to him Saturday night on For the People.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, he's a bright fellow. Very bright. Very bright.
He says he has an old zircon level that he purchased at Walmart for $20. He says it's a jewel. The tone only sounds when it's plumb or level. He says, I love it, Dale.
Oh, so instead of like mine has a tone on each side. When it's down on one side, it's one tone. When it's down on the other side, it's the other tone. When it's in the middle, it's quiet. So his is just the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, it makes a noise. Zircon levels, I never heard of.
Sounds great. I mean, it sounds fine to me.
Sounds like the thing to have to me.
Yeah. If you could get one at Walmart, it'd be nice, but I bet you can't.
If Dale Levins recommended, I would have one.
Yeah, I would too. You know, Dale's the guy who stayed at your house.
Yeah.
You know who that is. Okay. All right, but I bet, can you buy them at Walmart, or are they a blind-friendly product?
I don't know about nowadays.
Would be interested if this listener, if he is a listener, this came off the list, somebody needs to write him back and say, where did you get it? Or where can you get one?
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Well, he said he bought it at Walmart. Dale did.
Oh,
he bought his at Walmart.
That's what he said. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that solves that problem.
Need to call
Walmart for $20.
All right, I guess we need to go to Walmart and see.
Yeah.
That'd be, well, you know, that's another store I hate. Walmart. Jesus, such a big old store. Even Sunday, of course, both of us are unhappy with our Brookshire's up here that we shop at. And I said, well, you know, let's go to Walmart. They'll have everything. And the man said, no, we're not that desperate, you know. So we didn't.
A humongous grocery department.
Whereas we know a guy whose wife loves it, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
She
yes,
does.
Yes, we do.
She spends a lot of time there. If you got one more, we're at about, what time are we at about? We're at 13 after. You got another one?
Yes, sir. I've got one here.
All right.
Says, hi, I need a color identifier to be used in an electrical house wiring job.
Oh.
What are you guys using to tell the different color of wires? I also would appreciate hearing just how accurate you find the particular color identifier you're using. Especially in a house wiring situation. That is, sometimes it is totally dark, say, for instance, in a crawl space or attic,
yep,
when there's no electrical service hooked up. Now, I don't imagine that a color identifier can function without some lighting. Am I correct in my assumption? If so, would a handheld flashlight cast enough light for an identifier to work? Thanks much.
Man, I don't know whether a color identifier will do wires or not, will he? Anybody know?
The consensus on the list seems to be that they'll sort of work, but only if you can have enough slack to be able to coil the wire in a coil, so it can, I guess, can have enough to be able to read.
Is that what they said on the list?
Dan Rossi had a comment on it.
All right.
Yeah.
We're ready for Dan.
He says, it's my belief that the color identifiers use their own light source. Having said that, I believe the consensus on this list is that a color identifier won't work well for identifying wire color unless you coil up a bunch of the single wire to get more surface area.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think they have their own light source. But also, man, I mean, time you invest in that, I believe you could get some sighted brother-in-law or something to come and give you a hand.
Well, that was his next line. He says, but as was said here, and somebody did say this, I think that spouse is the product of choice.
The what?
Spouse.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean,
you know, and I've said this before, and I know that you disagree with me. I've done a lot of wiring in a lot of different houses, and I can't see a thing, and I never worried about what color it was. I mean, a switch leg is a switch leg. If you put, you know, if you put the switch across it, it's going to cut the light off and on.
If on a plug, it makes a difference. Plug won't work. I mean, you can't really hurt any. I mean, you just have to go back and do it again.
Well, you don't want to. You know, the ground is. You know what the ground is?
Yeah.
The ground is the naked wire, but it'll work in reverse.
No, but I mean, if you came to one plug with the black on one hot side, and then you went off with the white, it won't work. It's not going to be like your. They would have to be both matching, and so, but that would be easy. I mean, you'd just be a matter of reversing two wires. If you're going to do GFI switches, though, that's a whole other thing. You need to know the color.
Then you're into something. But what you do is drop the plug in the water, and if it kicks it off, you've got it right. I guess not.
I would find the brother-in-law or the spouse.
Surely you got somebody there that can help you identify colors. How much wire is this guy going to do? Run a whole house? And also, with electrical wires, you can identify a lot of stuff. If you take a piece of electric wire and you want to know which wire is which, run some audio through it. Just run some audio through it, and you'll know. You know, I've done that stuff before, too.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy.
Okay.
I guess we'll let you go and get on to our...
Well, I got one more if you've got time.
You got a quickie? All right.
I've got a quickie. It says, hello all. I want to change out the light on one of our ceiling fans. Looking at the light kit that's on there now, I can see no screws or anything to remove that puppy. Another thing, can I purchase just about any new light kit and it will fit? And this is Gwen.
Usually there's a screw at the center... In the bottom, isn't there, Don? Under the ceiling fan, right in the center of the light kit, that'll just take the whole thing off. I mean, it's just a round thing that you finger tighten.
I've seen it that way, and screws on, around the edges both ways.
Yeah. In mine, I'm looking at mine, and in the center, the chain is coming through the center, so mine is obviously held on by two or three screws around the perimeter.
The edges. Yeah.
It would make a difference. I don't know that they make universal light. You probably need to know the brand of your fan.
I would imagine you do.
That would be my. And sometimes you might encounter that the light kit, you need to do the price and see whether it's worth the kit or doing a whole fan.
Or just do the whole thing.
I mean, you may want to, unless you just want to do something.
Unless you got a specific light kit you want, and then you probably need to find out if it'll fit with your, because they aren't universal. I mean, they don't. But there's either screws or there's a deal in the center, or sometimes it seemed like I saw one that the chain came through the thing that removed the light kit.
Well, it did that. Now, that could be the threaded, that could be
true,
and I'm so far below it I can't see if that's where the nut is.
I think I saw one time that the chain came through the deal, that you unscrewed the deal, and the end of the chain would fit through it, or it had a thing. Anyway, there should be some screws somewhere. Good luck, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Houston, you're out. That's it.
All right.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your help.
Enjoyed it.
All right, and I'll talk to you in a day or two.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Let's see. Don, you still here?
Yes, I'm still. I wondered if we got time, I was going to talk about Abney's for an instant.
Talk about Abney for a second?
Yeah. Are you going to take a break, or you want me to?
Why don't we do that at the end? Because Henry's expecting it 3:20, and we're right on 3:20 now.
All right, let's go for it.
All right, hang on. Be right back with more of our little exciting Blind Handyman show in just a second. Henry Caston is our guest, and we're going to talk about outside cooking. Hang on.
I'll be yours until the sun doesn't shine, till time stands still, until the winds don't blow. When today is just a memory to me, I know.
Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget. Well, them crazy people on that blind like me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the blind like me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the blind like me list because I'm the moderator and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
For a lifetime, I'll still be loving. I'll still be loving.
Well, occasionally you get a vocal, don't you, huh? We got one there, don't we?
It happens.
Anyway, it's the Blind Handyman Show on a Tuesday afternoon to be run on Saturday or sometime. Don Patterson is with us. We didn't lose you, did we, sir?
No, sir. I'm
You're
still
right
here.
There. And we have another guy in Dallas, Texas, Henry Caston. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Hey,
you,
Henry, what's up?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's too early to tell.
Work.
We got Don Patterson on the phone from his house.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Henry.
And Don Shaw and I are here at my house. And
Henry.
So, we're all having a wonderful blind handyman afternoon.
Oh, good.
Is it raining up there yet, Henry?
No, I was just outside. I just took the dog out for a walk, and it's kind of pleasant. A nice breeze. I guess it's in the upper 80s.
Yeah.
That'll work.
About the way it is here, but we've got a 60% chance of rain.
Well, that's what they said. It's supposed to hit here around 5 p.m., and that's about when I'm going to be heading for the train. So,
whatever.
Some kind of a little cool front thing coming through in there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm ready for that. I can handle that.
Well, it's I like the air conditioning, so yeah.
We got into a big discussion about a week ago on the list about, I think it was Bryce Midgers.
Yeah.
Had purchased for himself a smoker where you put the fire in one end and the meat in the other end, and you have no direct heat. It just sort of flows over the meat and the actual smoke.
Yeah.
Does the cooking. Well,
yeah, indirect heating, smoking.
Yeah, indirect smoking. And he
I used to do that all the time when I go to a concert.
He had...
Yeah,
I knew you were going to work some line in.
Oh, and by the way,
what?
Call Bryce.
Bryce?
Yeah, because I don't think we're pronouncing his last name correctly.
Probably not.
That's no. But that's how our synthesizers do it, so what the heck?
Yeah.
We're blind.
That's how the synthesizers do it.
That's exactly how they say it.
Anyway, he had closed the smoker, the chimney on one end, and opened the firebox because he thought that would hold in the smoke. Wrong.
Yeah, I was out of town all last week, and I caught the tail end of that, and so I read somebody's message where I saw his first message, but if somebody doesn't tell you, how are you going to know?
How are you going to know?
You need air, you need ventilation, and I'm lazy. I look for the easy way. I don't use charcoal. I use gas because it's real easy for me. It's turn it on, you set it, and it's going to stay at that temperature. And then I can control it somewhat by venting, but I don't have to do it all day long while I'm smoking. Once I've got it set, it's good probably for, until there's a severe weather change. And you know how it is out here. That's every day. But no, it generally, it's going to be hot or it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
And everything else, once I've got my smoker set, plus I cheat. I have a sighted wife. So, so she can always come out there, and I have a thermometer on the outside, so... And we can talk about that.
I can touch the metal on my smoker and tell you within about 10 degrees of where it is.
Mine's
I've smoked enough. Do what?
Mine's insulated. I have a big, like it's a like a bank vault.
With the insulated hood on it?
Well, actually, in the hood, it actually opens up like a bank vault, you know? It's got a chrome handle, and you turn it, and it opens
really?
Up. And, but you can smoke a bunch of stuff in there.
Well, man, you could.
But I can touch the side, and it's warm to the touch. But
yeah,
I won't burn myself, and that's one of the reasons I got it, because I'm always bumping it.
I just lay my hand on there for just a second, and
yeah.
I can tell you, I can feel the smoke coming out of the smokestack and tell you, you know,
right.
if I'm close or if I'm, because in a 250, 260, 270, if they say 250 mm-hmm. and it's doing 260, don't worry about it.
Well, and the thing is where, you know, where you're taking your temperature, you know, we got to remember heat rises, and if your thermometer is at the bottom, it's going to be a heck of a lot hotter. It could be 40 degrees difference between the top and the bottom of of a small, you know, you've seen those Cajun cookers, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have.
Or like one of those green eggs. Those things, there's probably as much as 40 or so degrees between the top and the bottom. And so, you know, but that's the whole thing. Is smoking is a personal thing. You got to get to know what you're cooking, and you need to know your smoker and what it likes and what it doesn't like, and what do you like and what are your preferences. You know, I know what I like when it comes to eating, but it may not necessarily be what somebody else likes. So I cook to what I like, or if I'm cooking for other people, what most people like.
Well, and you also have to do like I do when I smoke a brisket. Halfway through, I cut it in two and put half of it in a pan and cover it tight with foil and put it right over by the fire. And it isn't as smoky, but Luann, that's the way she likes it.
She doesn't like it. Well, and a brisket is like a sponge.
Yeah.
You know, ribs are different, pork is different, but brisket is like a sponge, and it sucks up smoke. Now, my smoker is perfect for a brisket because I can't change out my wood chips. Once they're in, I have no way of getting to them. I can't add wood chips.
You're in for the long haul, then, once you get started with them.
Oh, really?
Start.
Yeah.
But yours is gas anyway. What do you...
Well, because of the box, where the smoker box is located, it's under the pan. The pan actually rests on it. The water pan actually rests on it.
Oh, so you're water smoking.
Right.
Okay, well, that's a different thing I was going to get into in a minute. I've done a lot of that also.
Sure.
So yours is a large water smoker with the fire at the bottom,
yes,
and a pan of water above that, and then the meat above that.
That's correct.
And it's massive.
It's not massive, but it's you could have a backyard party and nobody'd go away hungry.
Okay, well, you're talking about, we've changed subjects now.
I like changing subjects.
What I'm talking about is mine is made by New Braunfels smoker.
Uh-huh.
And it has a firebox on one end, a small firebox that's down a little from the actual chamber that you cook in.
Right, because you're doing indirect. You're over to the side.
That's right. But there's no, with mine, there's no water involved.
Right.
With my smoker.
It's just indirect smoke. And you could put water in there if you wanted to.
I have.
That's optional.
I have.
Yeah.
Set a pan of water in there, and that keeps the meat a lot moisture. But another thing, I don't usually use a brisket. I cook, usually if I'm cooking that sort of thing, a shoulder clot.
Uh-huh.
Which I find is much better as far as meat to fat.
Well, when I'm cooking a brisket, I'm usually cooking for a bunch of people. And at 49 cents a pound, don't tell people I'm telling you this, I'm cheap.
I think everyone who knows that, Henry.
But and it comes out tender, it tastes out. Comes out tasty. I've never heard anybody come to my house and say, I'm never coming back again. So that's because I let Janice do all the cooking.
Oh, man,
but
I've cooked briskets before that just came out wonderful. I'm just saying that they have a lot more fat than the shoulder.
Oh, yeah, and I like that. Now, I use what's called a packer trim or an untrimmed brisket. And then I trim off, or Janice will trim off the top part of the fat, and so we leave about a quarter of an inch or so.
Yeah.
And you can feel that, and you can tell that. And if you're comfortable with a knife, and I am, then it's not that big a deal to slice that off. But if you're not, then don't worry about it. You can pay a little bit more, or a lot of times the butcher will just do it for you. Just ask them.
And then we discuss: do you place that brisket on its racks, fat side up or down?
How do I do it? I do it with the fat side up.
Fat side up.
Yes, and the reason is because I want the fat to drip through.
I do too.
I want to fill the pores.
I do the same thing.
And then I want it to hit that water pan and sizzle, and then that flavor of the fat as it comes up with the water vapor, the steam, comes up, hits the roof of the smoker, it condenses, and guess what? It comes right back down again, and I got a rainforest.
That's another kind of funny thing with those water smokers. The top rack is actually cooks faster than the bottom.
I always use the top rack. In fact, you know, I was mentioning about my thermometer. Yeah. My thermometer is on the top rack.
Mr. Patterson?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You don't eat this kind of meat, so you don't cook any of it, do you?
I'm not. I do not care for smoked meat.
You do not?
No, not of any kind.
What are you doing on this show?
Pardon?
What are you doing on this show?
Well, I'm in charge of this show.
Oh.
What do you mean? No,
you'd eat a smoked hamburger if I made you one, wouldn't you?
No, because it's pink inside. It gets done on the outside, and it's just, to me, not done on the inside.
Oh.
And I'm a kind of a deep-fried or charcoal it till it is black kind of guy.
Well, as I mentioned often, we live in a high-fried, low-sushi area of Texas. Here, I think I've told you that before. But back to water smoking is a different thing than the kind of... I've got both. I've done both.
Uh-huh.
I have both.
There are advantages, disadvantages, and it's a matter of taste. There's no right way to do anything, you know that.
I would like to ask a question, though.
Well, we'd love to have you ask a question, sir.
All right. And have you ever done vegetables in your smoker?
Yes. All the time.
Does that work? I mean...
Yes. Vegetables, I like... I've smoked... I particularly like mushrooms... broccoli. You name it. I'll stick
it
in.
Do you put it on a grill or some kind of...
We use it in a basket.
In a basket that has holes, like a steamer in a sense.
I'll just put it in... I've got a... I call it a fish basket. Other people call it a grilling basket.
Right.
It's narrow wires, so you can lay stuff across.
Now, that I would like. I'm a big vegetable.
Yeah. But I also have a vegetable grate. It's specifically for vegetables, and I cook them on the grill, and I cook it in the smoker. And what it is, it's just a stainless steel pan, for lack of a better word, with holes cut in it. And you just lay your I marinate the vegetables in like olive oil or whatever.
Wishbone dressing, if you're really dangerous.
Yeah, and then, what did I say? I meant to say Italian dressing.
Yeah.
And... and then put it in there, and you know what? I cook, and I know you cook at a lot higher temperature than I do, Phil, and that's just a matter of choice. I cook real slowly, and I can put the vegetables in there for 2 to 4 hours, and I forget about it. But I'll tell you what, the best thing I've ever smoked is corn. Corn on the cob.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It is so good. And it's like when I go to the Texas State Fair, I want their... They're smoked corn, and, you know, I try to imitate it as best I can.
But now it wouldn't be wrapped up or anything, or do you do it in a shuck?
What I do is when I get it home, I go to the farmer's market there about every 2 weeks in Dallas, and I'll get their fresh, sweet white corn, and I'll bring it home, and we'll plan on cooking it that day. And I'll just stick it in a big bucket with water and let it soak for an hour or so until I'm ready.
Now, before
I soak it.
Have you shucked it yet?
I pulled the husk back and gotten the silk out.
Right.
Okay.
And then I soak it. And then once I've got it ready to start to smoke it, you know, by then, you know, the meat's about ready. I can stick the corn in there. I'll take some butter, and this is fun because if you like using your hand, and smear butter. Maybe some seasoned butter, a little garlic or whatever I like, maybe a little chili pepper, and just rub that in the corn, pull the husk back over it, and let it, it steams it and smokes it, and it is just outstanding. So vegetables are real easy to do. Like I said, corn, mushrooms. I've done green vegetables like broccoli, and asparagus is particularly good. I prefer marinating asparagus and then grilling it and make it caramelizes it. But you can also get it caramelized on the grill, on the smoker, but I'm impatient.
Okay, now what you're talking about is over an open flame cooking.
Oh, only the grill is open flame, the smoker is not.
Yeah. We, one time, I don't know why we did this, it was back when I used to drink a lot, we were cooked a New England boiled dinner in the actual water pan of the smoker.
Yeah, you can do that.
Corned beef and cabbage. We put potatoes and corn and everything in that water pan, built a fire under it, and let it go about 6 hours.
Yeah.
tossed some cabbage, and it was wonderful.
Well, why not? And then whatever's cooking is dripping down into it anyway and just flavoring it.
That's
it's
right.
just flavor.
It was wonderful. It was, you know, I've never done it again because that's not what you're supposed to do. But
what are you not supposed to do?
I
hey, if it tastes good, you're doing it right.
I cooked a roast on the engine of my car one time coming to Lufkin, Texas.
Well, there's a book called Manifold Destiny, and it talks about how to use your car when you go on trips, to use your engine to cook food.
Yeah, you're
and then when you get to grandma's house, it's ready.
We wrapped this roast in three layers of foil, and they said, the instructions I got, I heard this on KTRH years ago, make sure that it touches the block.
Uh-huh.
And so we wedged it up in there, and it touched the block. We got to Lufkin, and it was just knocked out.
Yeah. whatever works.
Manifold Destiny. I love it.
Yeah. I was telling Dale about somebody had given me a recipe for cooking salmon in your dishwasher. I haven't done it, but actually I think Dale tried it, and it worked.
I think he did it.
Yeah. And, whatever works,
It's a nervy thing to do. That'd just be a nervy thing to do with an expensive big thing of salmon.
Big hunk of salmon.
To try
well,
to experiment.
Yeah, but, it's like, it was like, you. I guess you read about my playing around with the omelet.
I want to talk about that. Yes,
well, it's like, Janet said, why did you do this? I said, because I just wanted to see what would happen.
See what would happen.
Yeah, and she said, well, don't do it again. I said, you can count on that.
Well, obviously somebody has done it. I guess
you could do it. I mean, it works fine, and if you like that thing, but for the amount of time and effort I put into it, I'd have made a much better omelet, on the stove.
Yeah.
It would have been 10 times better, and I don't care how good you could have made it in the backy. When you do that, when you're camping, you mix it all up, you put it in your ice chest, and when you get to the campsite, get some water boiling, and you put it on there, and you got yourself a camper. And you know how when you're camping, everything's better, or it used to be 30 years ago when we were kids.
Yeah,
but now I'm into the good stuff.
Yeah.
So, but this was a Dale Campbell recipe.
I'm sure I saw it on his site where I got it.
It came across the list.
We should explain to everybody the way it works. You want to explain it, Henry?
Yeah. Well, basically, you get a baggie, and the directions said to use a freezer baggie, and of course I don't have any, so I just used a sandwich bag, and I broke an egg in it. I'd cooked up some sausage. I cooked up some bacon. And then I added some cheese and some mushrooms and some hot sauce.
Shallots.
And I sealed it and mushed it all up together and then put it in boiling water for, the directions said, for 13 minutes. After 10 minutes, Janice walked in the kitchen and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm cooking some eggs. Take a look at them. She goes, well, your bags are all split up. I said, I said, she looked at it and she goes, well, it's done. I said, okay. So I pulled them out and... because the bags had split open, they were real wet.
They took on a lot of water.
Yeah, and and because I used all the cheese, I used probably way too much cheese. It was real, and I overcooked them. I definitely overcooked them. I like my eggs a little bit moist, and these were nasty.
Yeah, and also with modern science, don't they have some pretty neat omelet things that'll flip? Flip it for you or have
I know how to make an omelet, so I don't mess around with it. That's something you need to either know how to do or you don't know how to do.
Right,
I wrote a message to the Blonde Like Me list. I said, it has nothing to do with being able to see. You either know how or you don't know how.
Right.
And use those. They have these pans that you turn over or you can do it in the microwave or I suppose you could do it in a bag or what the heck? Go
on your grill.
Some brunch and let somebody else do it for you.
Yeah.
Don't do it on the grill. It doesn't work real well.
Go to Golden Corral and let someone else. But this idea, because I don't know how to make an omelet. I mean, I don't know how to flip the stuff together.
But you don't need to, If it's that important, you'll figure it out or you'll find a way to do it or you'll let Luann do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I love
it. If it's important, you'll know how to do it or you'll try to do it or you'll find a way to do it.
If it was important to me, I would figure out how to do it, I suppose.
Yeah.
You're right.
And that's what the whole handyman thing's about is if this is important to you, you'll figure out how to do it and it'll be...
Isn't it wonderful we've done 4 years of this and you finally explained to us what the hell we're doing? We really appreciate that, Henry.
You're welcome. No, what you guys do is a wonderful thing.
It is.
Because when you're out there, I don't have to explain anybody what it's like. No transportation.
Yeah.
You're the only blind guy in the whole wide world, and we're not. And so why do we have to reinvent the whole wheel? Well, it's certainly great to go to the handyman or Blind Like Me or Cooking in the Dark. and say, wow, there's other people just like me,
yeah.
and they're having the same kind of problems, and we can share and come up with great ideas or learn or find out, wow, that guy's just full of crap. But
when you first lost your eyesight, you thought, well, I must be the only blind person in the world.
No, when I lost my eyesight, I thought, man, this is going to be great because everybody's already done it, and they can tell me how to do it. And boy, was I in for a shock.
Yeah.
So, but that was, I'm like everybody else. I was a sighted guy. I didn't know any blind people. I didn't know anything about blindness. I just figured, hey, if you lose your eyesight, there's, you know, the United Way, there's all those agencies are going to take good care of you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Well, they'll take care of you.
They'll be right over.
Yeah.
But that's a different deal. And, you just deal with it. And over time, you meet other blind people who are similar to you or have certain aspirations. You know, I've talked about this guy, Willie Wilson, who I was introduced to shortly after losing my eyesight. And he talked to me about, you know, that was back in the BBS days of the Internet. And, I ran into lots of people like that, all of them through the computer and telephone.
Yeah.
But nobody next door where I could go and just go home. And I'll tell you, for me, it's great because I can send somebody an email message or I can call them on the phone and I can commiserate and I can talk about, how it's, you know, and this is just my opinion. It sucks being blind. And I can't tell you any nicer how to say it. I don't want to be this way, but I am, and there's nothing I can do about it. So
There is nothing you can do about it, make the best of it. We're far away from our subject here, which is
I'm sorry. Smoking. Yeah, smoking.
That's all right. Smoking. I met you before, and I knew you'd do that.
Sorry,
but no, you're right. It's handling blindness is a difficult thing to do.
And I can do it by playing in the kitchen, and I can be successful. And if I'm not, I can eat it. Nobody will ever know.
That's right.
And then that's why I enjoy that, and it's a love. And I think Dale has that same love and passion. It's you can do it. You know, in 30 minutes, you're successful. Or you find out, well, this is something I'm never going to do again.
Or you failed, huh? Just like with the omelet.
But you keep on trying. And that's why smoking, I think, is a great, great release for blind people.
It is a great way for blind people to talk, to cook, because the field is pretty level.
It is. And, the nice thing is it's a social type of thing, or you can make it a social thing. So you can have friends or family over. You can drink a beer. It's a slow process. So you've got, a couple hours to mess around or however you want to do it. And unless you're Don, just about everybody likes smoked meat.
Yeah.
Don?
Yes, sir.
Are you still here?
We're picking up.
I'm still here.
But it is. It's something that it's universal. Everybody likes it. Anybody can do it. You don't have to be fearful of flames because there really aren't any. There shouldn't be any. Or then you're grilling. Nope, you're not smoking.
There shouldn't be if you're smoking, water smoking, or smoking indoor.
Right. And which one is better? It's up to you. I like the water smoke or I like the gas, only for reasons that I like. I think if I were a little bit nervous and starting off for the first time, and I was going to spend some money on a smoker, I'd buy an electric smoker simply because it is...
That'll work.
That really, you plug it in and you don't worry about it.
The last thing I wanted to talk about was building a fire.
Yeah.
I had at one time a thing that was electric that you plugged in and stuck under the charcoal.
Right, and yeah, it was
big U-shaped, and it lit the charcoal. You could leave it a while, and it would ignite the charcoal. So
yeah, just grab the right end.
When you get through, you have to know what to do with it. I mean, you have to have some plan to lay it somewhere.
Right.
But if you're afraid of charcoal fluid, that is an easy way to start a fire. If you're afraid of gas, that will start your fire. If you're afraid of both, an electric smoker works. And you had one at one time, Don.
Yeah, we had an electric smoker for a while, and it was easy and convenient.
Yeah. Now, you do know, I don't want to say every single new gas smoker comes this way, but I'd really be surprised if it didn't. They have a starter. You just push a button or a crank.
Yeah.
You know, and it's whatever the heck that word's called.
Well, I've had lots of those, but they don't, I mean, a couple of years, they're gone. And then you have to know where to put the match.
But they're easy to fix. They're easy to replace. You just got to do it. Unless you live in
I have a comment just real briefly on cooking in general. I mean, like the gas versus charcoal. For Christmas, the kids gave me a propane cooker, you know, a propane grill.
Yeah.
But and they admitted, you know, when they got it, because we were talking about did I like it or not, you know, and they said, well, we bought a cheap one, but you can take it back, get whichever one you want. And I said, no, I'll just use this one. Well, the jury is kind of still out, but basically I don't care for it. And I think the whole problem is the fact that it was cheap. No thermometer and no proper way to dispense with the grease. And
yeah.
So sometimes I'll go out there and, you know, preheat the burners to get everything going, and, man, I'll go out there and the inside of the grill is on fire from the old grease.
Oh, that's too bad. And you know what, Don, you're right. It was what they got. And,
yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, charcoal produces heat. It also produces something that we like. Most people like in an aroma, and that will add a little bit of flavor. But with a gas grill, people say, well, you can't get that same thing. Yes, you can.
Well, I think you can. I didn't have any complaint with the way it cooked.
Yeah.
Just a more expensive grill.
A more expensive grill will have a little bit of an incline towards the center with a little hole, and they usually have a little grip that you can put in an old Coke can or Dr. Pepper can under there.
Ed Charles got the Cadillac. He has a little drawer that you pull out and clean it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's ways to get the grease. There's ways to keep it clean. There's a lot of controls. I like my gas grill and I like my gas smoker because I'm in total control. You know, not that I'm a control freak, but...
No, I agree. I think it's the way to... If you want to just have, you know, hey, let's cook burgers out tonight, man. Go turn the knob. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Now, they don't have rocks in them anymore like they used to.
Well, they used to have lava rocks, but now you get these ceramic briquettes, and they're really nice. They're not... And they last forever.
But
you know, your gas outlets are probably going to go bad before your ceramic.
But that's what's catching on fire, Pat. Just let the fire burn and get rid, and it'll, you know, just go. You know?
Yeah,
really. But and in fact, they make them. They're flavored, but I've never tried this. I don't know how they work.
I bought this thing here a couple of weeks ago because our grill is new. We've only had it for about a month. The gas, the propane grill. I bought a thing called a smoker box.
It's a
cast iron box. You put your wood chips in. Man, yeah. That's the thing to have now for smoke and direct cooking.
So if you're considering this, we've discussed many different ways of smoking outside. But for a blind person, one more quick thing, Henry. What do you put on a roast, or if you're brisket, when you cook it? What seasonings do you use?
Okay, my favorite is I have a two different commercial dry rubs. Dry rub is just... you know, garlic and chili and salt and stuff that somebody else has put together. You can make them yourself. You can go online and go to see what Amaro makes.
Yeah.
You know, you can. There's billions of dry rubs. But I put the dry rub on my brisket or my ribs or whatever I'm going to smoke. I seal it with plastic wrap, and I don't use saran wrap. I use that new stuff that doesn't stick. It's made for blind people.
Uh-huh.
And I seal it up, and I stick it in the refrigerator, and... I let it sit overnight or at least half a day or whatever, and it really flavors it up. And then when it starts to cook, the moisture from the meat itself and probably from the water pan causes that to almost liquefy. And it really makes it, you know,
yeah.
I use a combination of mesquite and hickory and sometimes oak with my brisket, so it doesn't make it too mesquite-y, because mesquite is very small, very strong.
Mesquite's very strong. It burns very fast and very hot.
So I like to blend.
Yeah.
Now, something that I've done before is I've taken pecan shells. I got a bunch of pecans. I didn't know they were needed shelling.
This.
So all Christmas, I shelled pecans. I saved the shells. I soaked them, and I smoked with those. And it was like, wow, this is really good stuff. But so that's what you do with your old pecan shell.
Well, another thing, if you're cooking with a direct flame, like if you're cooking burgers over charcoal, take an onion or an old onion or an onion of any kind and chip that onion up and just drop the onion in the fire.
Anything, you know, it's going to burn up. Well, anything.
It'll make things just,
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. We got to go. It's kind of been
enjoyed
a little cooking in the dark ad hoc show. Dale would probably kill us all, but it's okay.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not in Lufkin because it's a beautiful day for grilling or smoking.
It is.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
We'd smoke a little bit, get in the pool, and have a suds. Thank you, Henry.
Never mind. See you guys later.
All right, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Henry Kasten from Dallas, Texas. Don Patterson's with us, and Don Shaw. And I'm Phil Parr, and we'll be back and talk a little more on the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
All right, we're back with just a couple of minutes left. Don is with us from his home in, let me see if you're up here. Hang on. Now, this is you right here.
I'm right here.
You're right there, aren't you, huh? All right. You want to talk about the hardware store, our little local
Going to tell you, if you're lucky enough to have one in your little town, support it.
Uh-huh.
So you'll pay a few higher prices, and I draw the line. Sometimes even ours, they can't get it. I mean, they're way out of whack on their price, and so I don't. But two incidences, went to Lowe's on both occasions, not knocking Lowe's, could have been Home Depot, but had one of their associates with me on both times. I bought the kit for your weed eater that has the little nylon blades as opposed to string.
Mm-hmm.
Showed them my weed eater, which I had also bought from their store.
Uh-huh.
Got home, and it didn't fit. I mean, and the guy was standing, well, this is it. So took it back. Well, then they wanted to. I had to get a manager to solve it. The girl said, well, you don't have the paperwork. I had my ticket, and I said, I don't care about the paperwork. Your guy was there. When I opened the package, I threw it away. You know, so anyway, got to see, he solved that. Well, I bought for my edger blades, new blades. They come to a package. I showed the guy, this is my guy right here, this green weed eater. Oh, well, right here's the, are you sure? Absolutely. It says, right, doesn't work, doesn't fit. And so I'll have to take it. I was just going to tie it into our opening thing about, you know, the reason why I'm here and not there is transportation. It is a pain, and when you have your little hardware store, they will usually fix you up.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
not going to make a mistake.
Yep.
They either have it or they don't. They're very. You walk in the door of Abney's and there's somebody there. May I help you? You know.
Yeah, right there, immediately.
Right there. You got to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. Sometimes you. Could you send somebody to Weed Eaters?
Oh, yeah, hard to find someone to help you.
Yeah, so if you were planning to do handyman stuff, look around in your neighborhood and see if you can find a little mom-and-pop hardware
store. And if you got one, support them.
If you got one, support it. I buy lots of things. I bought, replaced my Makita drill. I just went to admin and said, I want the biggest Makita drill you got. He trotted it out, and it was a couple $100. I could have probably saved $20 by going to Lowe's, but I didn't.
Well, I bought a fire pit, you know, the outdoor on wheels thing where you can build a fire. Yeah. And kind of a safe confines. And, I'm sure it cost me $30 more, but guess what? He delivered it. I put it together.
Yeah.
And when Jeffrey came home, the son, his dropped it off at the house.
So you bought one of those, things that you stand around and you build a fire in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the thing to have unless you have a fire pit, unless you want to.
Yeah, I'm going to build one out somewhere behind the thing. We're going to pour another little slab and build a brick one, but this one does pretty good right now.
They do fine if you know just build a fire. John's got one.
Yeah.
That he just keeps on his wooden deck.
Yeah.
It sets up on the deck, and we burn fires in it.
That's right.
Wow. How are we doing, Sean? What are we?
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is, and they're big. They roll around, and they have little vents on each on all around on each side. You can either put the lid on them or not.
Right.
The only thing would be leaning down and building the fire.
You'd have to, in the ones in the ground.
You'd have to in the ones that roll around. You have to lean down in it to build the fire, don't you?
Well, or squat down. Mine has a little door side that you. No, it has just a mesh thing that goes around the circumference.
Oh yeah.
That's pretty heavy mesh. I mean, but sparks can still get out. But you put your wood in. Like, you really don't have to take off the top after you get it lit, too. I always do it with the top off when I'm lighting it and getting it started, and then you put the top on.
And then stick the top back on.
Little door that you you can just put a new stick of wood in or kind of tend the fire. But my main thing, like I say, I know, Lowe's just works people. Lowe's and or Home Depot, they're just people. A lot of them kids, a lot of them older folks, and... they help 1,000 people all the time, but just these two incidents, I guarantee you if I'd have gone to Abney's and they had had it, it wouldn't have happened.
The only thing is they probably would not have had it.
Sometimes they just probably wouldn't. I mean, that would be that happens sometimes.
I mean, his store is 100 by 100, and Lowe's is 10,000 square feet, so they're going to have a lot more stuff. And of course, Abney's doesn't have lumber. So if you're going to buy that, you have to go somewhere.
Well, of course, we live close to the Big Ten Barn, and I tell you, they deliver in no cost, and so I'm happy with them. So.
Yeah, what
they deliver. So how long is Mama going to be in Houston with
the
grandkids?
She's coming back tomorrow.
Is she now?
And then at some point, hopefully, we're both going to get to go down to, we're going to take the jet ski down Clear Lake, I don't know, a week or so. We have some free accommodations.
Well,
no more dog sitting.
Well, I did just got rid of a short German short haired wow puppy here that I kept for Sarah and Chad. But, but they bought me lots of beer.
They did.
That.
Well, that's also important.
It was the most important.
We're going to go, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, but I need to call you after a while.
Okay, talk to you in a minute.
Bye.
All right, Donald. Don Shaw, thanks, sir.
Yeah, another one down.
And the old double phone whammy worked worked amazingly good.
Hell of a thing.
And Henry's phone was just clear as a bell, wasn't it?
It was.
All right.
Phone.
All right, thanks to old Henry Caston. We'll do this again next week. I'm Phil Parr for Don Shaw and Tom Houston and Don Patterson. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.